Head on downstairs for children's church while everyone else turns to Exodus 2. Let's see, this is a really special Mother's Day at Open Door because this is a first time celebration for a whole lot of moms this year. You know that? Let's see, I think Hannah. Is this Hannah's second Mother's Day? Or Hannah, this is your first Mother's Day celebration, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, okay, I thought so. This is Hannah's second. We got a bunch of firsts. Becca, and then Becca, we got two Beccas that are celebrating their first Mother's Day. Amy, let's see, Emily back there. Who am I missing? It's Jen. Okay, it's been a baby factory around here. I can't keep them all straight. So a slew of babies and one teenager who hardly acts like a baby. So congratulations, all you new moms. And what an exciting thing to celebrate something that God designed to begin with, right? Well, in Exodus chapter 2, I want to give you the background here of the Israelite people. It actually started with a promise made to one man named Abraham. And as a people, they began to grow under the 12 sons of Jacob, who were all living in Egypt. Those boys were the second youngest of them. His name was Joseph. He was actually second in command over Egypt. Right-hand man to the Pharaoh himself. We see this in, actually, if you back up to Exodus 1, verse 6 and 7. It says, "And Joseph died, all his brothers and all that generation, but the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them." And so the Israelite people grew over time within the land of Egypt, living at peace amongst the Egyptians and with the Egyptians. This was an immigration situation that was working just fine. But it didn't last. In verse 8 of chapter 1 says, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come and let us deal with them shrewdly, lest they multiply. And it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, or so go up out of the land.'" Now the Israelites had demonstrated no threat whatsoever, but sometimes a man in power is a man in paranoia. And his answer was to no longer let the Israelites live freely amongst the Egyptians, but rather to inflict and enslave them. Take a look at verse 11. It says, "Therefore they set taskmasters over them," that is over the Israelites, "to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor," that is with harshness. "And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor." And they enslaved them, made them do hard labor, essentially. It says in verse 15, "Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name," there were two of them who were helping deliver all of these Hebrew children. Hebrews are also another word for the Israelites. "Spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name was Shifra," was one, and the other was Pua. These were midwives. These two ladies helped deliver these children. These would be like the Deb and the Vanessa of Egypt, okay? And they went about helping all these moms deliver these newborns amongst the Israelites. And that was verse 16. "And he said, 'When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live.'" So the king's plan was simply stop the growth of the Israelite people. Okay, so eventually only women would be left who could then marry and be absorbed into the Egyptian culture, and Israelites would be no more. To do that meant from that point forth killing all the newborn baby boys. Great Mother's Day sermon so far. Well, in the midst of this horror, we see God's beautiful design of motherhood come through loud and clear. In verse 17, you see, it says, but the midwives feared God. They feared him way more than they feared Pharaoh. It says they feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. This is what you have in the scripture as the very first case that we see of that which we call civil disobedience. That is, you disobey the civil authorities when they command you to disobey God's righteous authority. You know, I can follow civil law until civil law tells me to break God's law. And I say, sorry, I must obey God rather than man. This is the first case in the Bible that happens. These women knew what was right. They knew what was wrong. They weren't buying into that. And so, it says, so they let all these children live. It became obvious after a while. You know, there's still little baby boys running around amongst the Hebrews. So, verse 18, the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? In other words, why have you disobeyed me? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, well, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. In other words, we're always late. You know, some of you women, when you went into labor, it just was prolonged. And then some of you, boy, you just don't hang on long. You know, I know of children who have been born in the car on the way to the hospital. Okay, and basically what they're saying is this is what all these Hebrew women are like. They're not like Egyptians. They're not in labor for days on end. Were they lying? You know, probably not. There's not enough information given to us to accuse them of lying. It could really be that, the ladies were delivering that fast, or they could have told their assistants, listen, when you know, a woman goes into labor, just take your time before you come get us, okay? So that they were not lying. We really doubt it. What we do know for a fact is that they are commended by God for what they did, because verse 20 says, therefore, God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. You know what that's saying? He provided husbands and children of their own. Because they obeyed the Lord. They followed the Lord's law instead of man's law, and God blessed them for that. And they had children in a time when it was really dangerous to have children. Listen, those of you who have already brought your kids up, and you see these, I keep losing count, these several young people who are having babies and adopting and bringing up families. You have got to stop saying to them, I feel so bad for you bringing a child up in this day and age. You have got to stop saying that. That's ungodly. These women brought up children in a land where the king said, kill the boys. God protected them and God blessed them, and that's the same God that we serve today. It was a great time to bring up kids, man. They didn't even have the full word of God back then. You do. They didn't have the resources to study and follow God and walk with him in detail. You do. Praise God that you're having kids. Praise God that people are still adopting and bringing up families. You know, I commend you for that. Don't you stop doing what God commanded way back in the Garden of Eden. Because this is God's design of motherhood. And the world's not going to stop it. And so they were blessed for that. Now, you keep reading, it says in verse 22, Pharaoh commanded all his people. Forget the midwives, they're not helping him out, so he just commanded the people. Every son who is born, that is of the Hebrews, every son who is born, you shall cast him into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. You kill those little boys. That's what he told his people. Boy, that's a extreme martial law, isn't it? Well, the rage continued on Pharaoh's part. But here's where we get to see, in the midst of this horrible act of murder, we get to see God's design of motherhood just come through really loud and clear in one woman in particular. And this would be Moses' mother, okay? Moses' mother. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi, okay, two Hebrews, got together, got married. It says, so the woman conceived and bore a son. Now, what you find out if you read on into chapter 6, verse 2, is this couple's name was Amram and either Jochebed or Jochebed, whichever the case may be. That was their names. Now, Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 11, commends both of them for trusting God. But it's interesting that in Exodus, it is mom, Jochebed in particular, who is emphasized in the text. It says, so the woman conceived and bore a son, and this would be her third child. Her first was a girl named Miriam. And she also had a little boy who was about 3 years old at the time named Aaron. And Aaron was evidently born after the edict by the king. And so now they have this little baby boy who they didn't name yet. And he would be called Moses. And it says in the rest of verse 2, and when she saw he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Now that's interesting, okay? She hid him because he was beautiful. What if he was an ugly kid like I was? Right? I was an ugly baby. Just ask my Aunt Gail, she'll tell you. Okay? Well, the word beautiful actually has the idea of being agreeable, pleasant, special. In other words, the woman could see there was something different about this child. And there was. She knew way back then, instinctively, God had plans for this boy, and he did. Right. And that's not the only reason she hid him. She did what any mother would. This was her little boy, okay? And when it says that she hid him 3 months, that word means she hid him like one would hide a treasure. Okay. You know, when my boys were little, and I took something away from it, that's it. I'll get this back to you when I think you should have it. And then I go hide it. Not because it was a treasure. Right? It's because I didn't want them to get it. But that's not what this means. More than not wanting Pharaoh to get her boy, she saw this boy is valuable to me as a mom, but evidently to God's plans as well. This is a treasure. Now, what mom here can't understand that? Right? What's the design that we see here? Simple. Number one, God designed mom to protect. He designed mom to protect. To protect her children from that which causes harm. When moms start protecting their children from that which they need, then that's not good. But to protect them from that which causes harm. You know, it's mom that sleeps lighter than dad, typically. Have you noticed that? Baby makes one little noise. Mom is wide awake. Where are we at, guys? My wife knows someone breaks in the house, she is on her own. You know? She has a hard time getting me up in the middle of the night. She sleeps so light. That's how moms are. She watches those babies. She watches those toddlers. She watches her children. Well, God designed mom that way. We ought to be thankful for that. You know? In fact, sometimes mom protects her children by letting them learn the hard way. That takes real strength on mom's part because that's hard to do. But she's protecting them from themselves when she lets them learn a few things the hard way. Now, a mom who does not protect her children is really just suppressing what God has already put in her. She's suppressing what God has designed. But then we continue here, verse 3. It says, but when she could no longer hide him, he was 3 months old now. When she could no longer hide him, she took an ark. It is something that floats. She took an ark, a little ark or a basket of bulrushes. Bulrushes kind of look like cattails, you know, that would have grown along the Nile River. She made a little basket, and it says she daubed it with asphalt and pitch. She made it waterproof so it would float. She put the child in it, laid it in the reeds, by the river's bank. And then it says in verse 4, and his sister, this would be Miriam, stood afar off to know what would be done to him. In other words, mom left. Was this neglect? Not likely. This was trust. But this was a three-month-old baby. We got a three-month-old here, right? Amy, you got Reuben around here somewhere? Oh, yeah.
3 months. I can't believe that already. This is a great surgery.
3 months. Keep the lights out of your eyes, huh? 3 months old. Can you imagine taking this little baby at 3 months, putting him in a basket, covering him up, and walking away? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Yes. I can't imagine doing that. Now, you think of that moment when she put him away, knowing that the Pharaoh's daughter was going to come down and bathe, knowing that God was going to take care of this child because he had great plans. And yet, when he was doing this, she walked away. What you see here is the second design in motherhood when she did that. That is God designed mom to let go. Now, most moms don't have to let go that soon, but every mom has to let go eventually. That's part of God's design. I was 25 years old when I packed up my truck to drive 1,500 miles away to attend Bible college. And my mom cried, but she never discouraged me. God designed her to let go when it was time to do so, and she did. Then, about 7 years after that, having been in Arizona again for a year and a half, Naomi and I loaded a moving truck to drive 2,500 miles away to live in New York State. I'm glad someone said that. Do you know, my mom didn't say that. My mom cried again. But she didn't discourage me because, once again, God had designed her to let go. That's God's design. You know, we ought to thank God for this part of motherhood. When mom has the wisdom to know when to let go. Because that's how God designed her. Because that's what you need. Got to let you go from time to time. Sometimes got to let you go over and over again. If a mom refuses to let go of her child and of her children when she should, she is suppressing that part of God's design in her. Well, Jochebed did not suppress that. With a broken heart, she let that little three-month-old go, knowing she could not protect him from certain death any longer. So, we continue on in verse 5. It says, then the daughter of Pharaoh, now here's the princess, coming down to bathe in the river, which Jochebed would have known she was going to do this. She came down to bathe in the river, and her maids walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And notice, so she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. This is what Jochebed probably knew was going to happen, but she just couldn't stick around and watch it. Can you imagine the heartbreak? She just couldn't stick around. But her oldest daughter stuck around. It says in verse 7, then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go call a nurse? In other words, Miriam, hiding, watched the princess come, take this little baby, and just coddle that child. She wasn't going to kill this child. She knew her dad's edict to kill the male children. She wasn't going to do that. Why? Because the princess was answering to her motherly design as well. And holding that child and looking at this child with love, it was obvious to Miriam what she was going to do. So she came out of hiding and approached the princess and said, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. She didn't tell the princess, but she said, I've got the perfect woman. Her mom. His mom. So she went and got her mom and restoration. You have this little baby back with his mother. And this is the third design we see in motherhood, and that is, moms, I'm so thankful God designed mom to keep watch. And you see this come through in both the princess and Jochebed, don't you? Keeping watch over that baby, having a role. Oh, it gets even better for the mom in this text. It says in verse 9, then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, that is, said to Jochebed, said, take this child away, nurse him for me, because she couldn't do it, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. So not only was she restored to mothering this child, she was paid to do it. Moms, how much money would you have if you were paid for motherhood? If you were paid the wages that motherhood was worth, you'd all be millionaires. And so she got paid to be back with her little baby boy. And God restored that. Amen, huh? Well, continues on. It says, and the child grew in verse 10. And she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. This is where he first got his name, not from his natural mom, but his adoptive mom, because Moses means to draw out. And that is a very fitting name, because this man was drawn out to serve God in a very special way much later on in life. And I said, well, that's kind of heartbreaking for Jochebed, isn't it? You know, he didn't get to grow up in her house. Well, that's true, but she did have a very important part in bringing him up. There's no reason to think they ever really lost touch. We know that because Moses was quite aware of who his brother and sister were later in life. He knew Miriam. He knew Aaron. Also, Jochebed had the joy of seeing Moses secure in none other than the Pharaoh's own palace, where he was trained, where he was educated, and where he was equipped to do what God would call him to do much later on. She was a proud mama, and she had a part in this little boy's life. As she saw him grow. You know, mom still keeps watch. I don't know that moms, do we as your children ever really outgrow this? I'm 48 years old this year, and my mom still keeps watch over me, still takes interest in my life. We talk on the phone regularly, and she calls, and he asks about Naomi and the boys, and asks about you folks here at the church. She's still watching over me. God designed her that way. See, Jochebed is just a wonderful example of God's design, and she lived up to her design. And Moses was blessed for that. Moses did become, through a lot of trial and error and spiritual growth, he really became a man of God, a fantastic leader. In part, that's because of mom. And because of a mom who followed the design God had made for her. Now, some of you either never knew your mom, or maybe you had a mom who suppressed God's design in her life. Well, thank God anyway. Maybe you can nurture that design in your own life as a mom, or help to nurture it in somebody else's life. And if your mom did demonstrate these design features in her life, well, you ought to thank God as well. If she's not with you anymore, you can honor her memory. And if she is still with you, if she is still alive, hey, have you thanked her? If you had a mom that lived up to this, would you consider just thanking her specifically? Thanks, Mom, for doing what God designed you to do, whether you know it or not. It's really not that hard. I'll show you how. I haven't done this in a long time, so hopefully she doesn't know this is coming. It's 8:45 Arizona time. You think she's awake? For my sake, she better be.
Hello?
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Are you awake?
I'm not now. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm lazy. What are you doing?
Preaching.
Oh, I was going to say, what time is it?
Yeah, it's 10 to 12. Church should be out in a few minutes, so I'm glad you could join us.
Well, yes, thank you. So, Naomi and all the ladies, happy Mother's Day for me, too.
My mom says happy Mother's Day. I just want to say, Mom, I just preaching on Moses' mom and how she lived up to her design in being a mom. God designed her to protect her children and to let them go when they needed to and to keep watch. And you still do that, Mom. Thanks. So I just want to say I love you. I'll call you later because the boys are going to want to talk to you. But I did want to say have a good Mother's Day. And you guys going over to Grandma's later? Is that the plan?
No, they're coming here.
Oh, they're coming here? Okay. Well, I'll call later and talk to Grandma. So I love you, Mom. I'll call you later. Have a good day.
Thank you so much. I love you, too. Thank you.
That's not so hard, is it? You can do that. And like I said, if you can't call your mom, well, hey, talk to God, because he knows all about motherhood and what it is to be thankful for it. So I'm going to have our men come at this time and close our service with one more piece from the men's choir.